the state of the general aviation marketplace. I'm Paul Platt, and this is Aero News. Welcome into this Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. At the General Aviation Manufacturers Association's annual industry review and 2008 market outlook briefing last week, GAMA Chairman Alan Klapmeyer of Cirrus Design discussed why there's cause for great optimism in the GA community. He also outlined some challenges GA will face in 2008 and beyond, and mentioned a few things we can all do to help. Today, we'll present his edited remarks in audio form, with a reminder you can see them in video format on your computer at www.aero-tv.net. Here's Alan Klapmeyer.
It's an honor to be here, obviously a pleasure. GAMA is a fantastic organization. I really appreciate being a part of it and for being allowed to be the chairman this year. What we're going to be talking about today is obviously some of the good points, some of the bad points, where we're at as an industry, and review the past year. So we want to start by saying the good news. We've got another record year for the general aviation industry. And for those in the industry, give yourself an applause. Good job. We're setting records this year in safety, in the global marketplace, in employment and backlog, and I do want to talk about some of these a little bit more specifically. Obviously, safety. Safety is the single most important parameter that all of us look at in this industry. And fortunately, this year we did have record low fatality results. The trend has been down for a number of years, and that's very important. Obviously, it will never cease being an essential focus for the industry. But as we keep driving this down, we're in a great place to continue to grow the industry. I've got a quote here from Nick Sabatini at the FAA, which is that this record is due to a dedicated commitment to safety by everyone in general aviation. In particular, manufacturers are providing sophisticated technology like GPS and glass cockpits and training to go with them, and the FAA is vigorously encouraging adoption of these safety enhancements. We can all feel very good that it is new technology, new aircraft, new training methods, and a continued focus on safety which will help drive these levels hopefully even lower in the future. So let's talk about the global marketplace. This is obviously a very good news story for our industry. When you look at economic growth across the industry, we have seen continued economic strength in North America with a 3% growth. But we're seeing the same thing continue around the world, 5% in the Latin American countries, 4% over in the Middle East and Africa, 3% in Europe, and obviously quite impressively 7% in the Asian countries. Global economic growth is essential, but it's not just the economic growth. It is that our industry is becoming more broadly focused. If you look at aircraft deliveries, you see the same thing. In North America, where we still have robust demand, and obviously the majority of the aircraft delivered, 58% of the worldwide jets, for example, has been the bedrock of our industry. But we're seeing growth in other places. Let's look at Latin America, where jets now make up 8% of the total deliveries went to Latin America. Very strong performance by turboprops, and obviously piston engine aircraft growing there as well. Europe continues to be strong. Many of you will have heard me say this before. I always think it's funny when the Europeans talk about they don't need a strong general aviation because they've got a great train system. And I always laugh at that because I've been on some European trains. They've got a couple really good ones and a whole bunch of really bad ones. The only reason they think or used to think they didn't need strong general aviation is because they hadn't experienced general aviation. But as Europe grows, both economically and geographically and expanding to the east, obviously they're going to recognize the benefits that we do in general aviation. So we're seeing that in increased numbers. 25% of the jet aircraft are delivered to Europe. Africa and the Middle East, obviously jets are starting to gain momentum there as well, driven primarily by the Middle Eastern economy. For those of you who haven't noticed, it is going to be a very, very, very important part of the world economy, what's going on in the Middle East. And they are truly focused on growing it. And we're fortunate that they recognize that general aviation is an important part of that as well. And then, of course, Asia and Pacific, which is a very promising, huge amount of potential demand, large populations, large distances, and less infrastructure than a lot of parts of the world. So we can all look forward to increased growth there in the years to come. If you look at the forecast then, this really is a very bright spot. From a U.S. balance of trade, for example, we think about the economy. We are very fortunate to be able to be an important part of the U.S. export market, and we see these continuing. So in the future, then this is Honeywell's five-year forecast, we're down to 50% in the U.S. for business jet sales, so down from 58. Now, obviously, that'd be bad news if we were talking about a shrinking market. But, in fact, what we're talking about is an expanding market where it increases everywhere else, and particularly in Asia, where we should see continued increases in aircraft deliveries. Employment. This is another tremendous bright spot for the U.S. economy. 9.8% increase in employment at Gamma manufacturers. And these are good, high-paying jobs. We think this is something that people should be highlighting. Where most U.S. manufacturers have declined, and in fact an average of 0.8%, general aviation manufacturing has increased by 9.8%. These are good jobs. They're high-paying jobs. They're satisfying jobs. They are jobs that are in demand by economies around the world, and we've got them here. It's very important to note that general aviation is an essential part of the U.S. economy, and that we should be doing things that continue to keep that to be true. I want to compare some of these employment figures to other kinds of industries. And what you'll hear about in the news is significant reductions in manufacturing in many, many areas and the movement of those jobs offshore. With general aviation, what we have is the ability to not just keep the jobs here, but in fact grow them. And we'll be talking in a minute about some of the things we need to do to support that demand. That demand obviously starts with sales, and we've got a great backlog. The book-to-bill ratio is 1.9 as estimated, because I've heard other people say that it looks like it's over 2. So obviously a very, very strong demand for business jets. And carefully done so that we don't get in trouble with antitrust rules, the Gamma estimates include $58.1 billion in backlog. Pretty impressive number. Hopefully beginning to break that cyclical tie from Gamma manufacturing to the economy in general. So let's look at billings. This is a record year. All-time industry record of $21.9 billion. Obviously a fantastic result. Both great growth, 16.4% growth, and hitting the record. Shipments as well are up. We have 4,272 total shipments for the year. This is the highest number in about 25 years. So we are seeing that the industry continues to grow. And I expect that that growth will continue. And in part, it's because we've got this fantastic spectrum of products. These are products which really do drive tremendous value to their operators across the whole range, from low-end piston airplanes, which I represent, to the largest, and as you'll notice, off the scale to the right, large heavy airplanes such as the BBJ. This broad distribution provides a tremendous healthy industry and the ability to meet a variety of customer needs. So let's look at some of these segments in particular. Turbines. In terms of numbers, 26.4% increase. Fantastic, healthy demand, and it's wonderful. And I do believe that this is driven by the recognition that these are essential business tools. Airplanes provide value. These are products which drive value. These are logical, reasonable business investments. And it's obviously frustrating for those of us inside the industry to have them described as either perks or some other kind of purchase. These are essential products, and we're seeing that corresponding with this kind of growth, up to 1,138 airplanes. This is an all-time record for business jet shipments, and it's the first time that over 1,000 airplanes have been delivered. But, of course, also in that spectrum includes turboprop aircraft, another great set of value, airplanes that provide a lot of value for their customers, slightly different niche, but still important value, important business tools. They range from the Meridians on all the way up to twin-engine turboprops, King Airs, and Avantes, and others. Shipments for these are also strong. 11.4% increase, 459 units. This is the most turboprops that have been shipped since 1981. So again, we're seeing good, strong demand for these airplanes. And then on the bottom end of that spectrum, we have the piston airplanes, which I think we need to modify how we discuss. These are personal aviation products which are still used for business. Let's not call them private airplanes. Let's not call other ones private jets. Personal and business is the better way to describe it. Because again, the words that we use do drive the understanding to people that don't understand the depth as we do. But again, good strong segment, a lot of variety, often driven by new products, new technology, new people being brought into the industry. We do have actually a slight decrease in the volume here, but the great part about it is we're seeing a lot of potential growth. And again, this is new people coming into the industry. And this is something I do feel pretty strongly about, obviously being one of the manufacturers that build airplanes here. When you look at total miles traveled, we actually have a 34% decrease in general aviation volume. Now compare that to 84% of highway miles driven and 186% normalized since 1980 in airlines. What we have is obviously expanding economy in the United States and North America, expanding economies around the world, a tremendous need for transportation. Airplanes are great transportation. That's the story we need to tell. That's what we need people to understand. And this kind of growth ought to transfer into continued growth throughout the industry. Now, what we've seen is we've got a very strong, very robust jet market. We have a good, healthy turboprop market. And what had been seen as a leading indicator, piston market, I believe is going to become a following market. The people that recognize the value that the business jets bring to their owners and operators will see that they can get many of those same benefits by operating piston aircraft. New technology, new products, new customers. So I'm very, very excited about that kind of growth.
We'll be back in a moment with more comments by GAMA Chairman Alan Klapmeyer from the Association's annual Industry Review and 2008 Market Outlook Briefing. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Platt. Today we're taking you to the General Aviation Manufacturers Association's annual Industry Review and 2008 Market Outlook Briefing for comments from GAMA Chairman Alan Klapmeyer.
Pilot population. We need to grow the pilot population. Available workforce. And, of course, FAA reauthorization. When you look at these numbers, we've had a long-term decline in the number of private pilots. This is just private pilots, so it doesn't include commercial and ATP and others, but it's not a good-looking trend. We need to turn this around. As an aviation community, we need to make sure that we are growing the low end so that we will have the pilots that we need as workforce and the customers that we need to be growing this industry in the long run. Now, when these people depart, they are still pilots. I like to tease pilots about this. They say, well, I used to be a pilot. My answer is, no, you're still a pilot. You're just not active. We need to bring them back into the fold. We need to educate them. We need to demonstrate to them the new value of aviation, reacquaint them with why they wanted to learn to fly in the past. And I do believe that we can turn this trend around. We've got a number of programs still going on in the industry. AOPA has the Project Pilot, a mentor program. We've got Young Eagle at EAA. A number of things we need to be doing. So some good news here, sport pilots. This is a new category, as you know, with the FAA. We have sport pilots, we have light sport aircraft, and one place where we're seeing quite a lot of growth, we expect that to continue. We've also got the first time now some GAMA manufacturing, Cirrus and Cessna, both introducing LSA aircraft, and we're both committed to the same thing, which is growing pilot starts and making sure that we've got a good, healthy industry. They'll be fun also. Available workforce. We talked about the good news. Good news is that manufacturing jobs are up 9.8%. The bad news is we need to train more people to work in this industry. we've got a 30% increase that we need over the next decade. This is one estimate, 20,000 workers over the next 10 years, and a shortage of engineers. Now, I'm sometimes told that we don't really have a shortage of engineers, they just don't want to move to Duluth, Minnesota, but I don't believe that. I think that, in fact, there is a shortage of engineers. But when you look at these, what it really is about creating the necessary workforce, one of my huge frustrations is that we have people out there looking for jobs, supposedly. We have students bemoaning their future. Where are they going to work? Aviation. We've got an expanding industry. I'm optimistic that it will continue to expand significantly. So what we have to do is make them aware first that this is a great opportunity, a great industry to work in, then make sure they get the right education. This education will include things like the National Center for Aviation Training, something that's going on down at Wichita, where they're putting together a program to begin to prepare this workforce and to help them grow. This workforce includes A&Ps, mechanics. It includes manufacturing people, because we obviously have new technology coming on board in manufacturing, and obviously special engineering training. When you look at engineering schools, obviously we've had a huge number of people who have gone over into the computer, the high-tech sort of world. But we need to remember that that is, in fact, aviation as well. Aviation has a lot of software and electronics. But we need to keep people focused on engineering educations to help grow our workforce base and our economy. So let's talk about the most challenging part of this. FAA reauthorization. This is a huge disappointment to me. I really did think that we were going to be close to getting an agreement last year. Instead, what we've got is a reintroduction of the same old bill, which was clearly rejected last year, but surprisingly introduced again. We also have the problem of the aviation taxes. Now, Pete did point out to me, Pete Bunce, a little bit ago, that the House was acting today on a bill to extend the aviation taxes through June, which is a good start, because if having the taxes lapse will obviously be a terrible disadvantage for the Aviation Trust Fund. But this is a huge part of the problem of aviation. We're focused on the wrong things. The President's budget for 2009 proposed the exact same thing that had already been rejected by Congress. It doesn't make sense. And one of the disappointing parts about it for me is that it's focused on the wrong problems. For example, dismissing or reducing the airport investment program, the AIP funds, by 22%. I think everyone would agree when they look at the facts, the problem we have is not enough runways. We don't need to be taking away money from expanding airports, whether they're reliever airports for general aviation or the main hubs. So what we've really got to do is make sure we're focused on growing this system. Obviously, last year was the year of the war between general aviation and the airlines. A huge, huge, huge disappointment, because we ought to be on the same side working together. So let's get past this. Let's have Congress complete the FAA refinancing bill, get it over and done with. There is a fair system in place now. There are some changes that have been approved by the House of Representatives in the past. It does need to just get passed and get moving. Reject any type of user fees. My background's in physics and economics. I love to argue with people about economics. I also tend to think of myself as a free market capitalist. And I will have people come to me and say, but you should be the one who believes in user fees. And my answer is, the only thing worse than government, from an economics point of view, is monopoly. And that's what we would have if the user fee system as proposed went into place. You would have, in fact, a monopoly. Monopolies do not drive efficiency. We do need to extend the aviation taxes until the bill passes. Obviously, leaving that cash to the side would just be a huge loss for the industry. And we need to focus on modernization. Now, Pete's going to talk a lot about this in a moment, but I do want to point out that this ought to be the single most important effort in the industry and the effort that brings us all back together. We all are on the same side here. We need to help the FAA and the government get on with the process of modernization. We have huge benefits for a growing economy and a growing industry if we'll just work together on doing this right.
Alan Klattmeyer is the chairman of the General Aviation Manufacturers Association. You'll get more out of his presentation if you see it in video format at www.aero-tv.net. We've got it all there, including the PowerPoint presentation that audience members saw on the screen as Alan spoke. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. On the web, you'll find us at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.